Blog Talk Radio.
And you are listening to the Pinckney to Pinckney Show. I am the Reverend Edward Pinckney. Listen, I want to thank everyone for listening to our show last week. We had a doozy. We had an abundance of people listen. I'm looking for 1 million people to have tuned in to this show by Christmas Day. 1 million. And I'm telling you, we're getting closer and closer and closer. I tell you, but we have had a ball here in the city of Benton Harbor. On yesterday, we went and picketed the mayor home. He got signs out in front of his house for people to vote no, to stop the income tax, to stop the city of Benton Harbor, to stop everything that's going on here. But we are definitely challenge him. He's a true sellout. His name is Reverend Hightower, James Hightower, from Benton Harbor, Michigan. He works for the hospital. He's a character. But we have to continue to pressure them, to show them that we are able to fight back. There's nothing more important in this world than fighting back. Also, which is even more important, the school system. We have a recall in on three of the school board members, Lou Buchanan, Martha Monet, and also Willie Lark. We're recalling Willie Lark because he got that nasty barbecue. He owns a barbecue shop around here that is controlled by Whirlpool. Also, my words are boycott, boycott, boycott. Boycott everything that does not help you and your community. It's crucial that we keep our money in our pockets. We are learning to do this all over the country. I'm telling people today, you must start standing up for your rights. If you don't want to fight for yourself, fight for your children. I tell you, because they're planning on crushing us if we allow them to. But I'm happy today. I'm going to be in New York City starting December the 3rd through the 4th. And then I'm going to move on to Washington, D.C., where I have a meeting there with a couple of House members. I have invited a couple of my TI friends to be with me, and they're going to meet me there. So it should be really, really amazing. Also, I'm also going to see my good friend Ralph Porter when I get to New York. And if he want to continue to Washington so we can picket the White House, we will be there to do that. But I'm telling you, people out there, you must start to fight back. Stand up. Do what needs to be done. You know, I love my TIs, my target individual, but they don't love themselves. They have created all kind of problems. But I have refuse to stop loving them. I will go beyond the call of duty to do what I can to help, because I think that's an issue that everybody in this country should stand up for. So those of you who are out there, believe me, TI business is your business. But here, I got to move on. Let's listen to a little Martin Luther King, then we'll bring on my first guest. I think we can do that. I don't see a problem with that at all. But you people out there, make sure you're fighting. Stand up. The revolution is coming, whether you like it or not.
I come here tonight and plead with you. Believe in yourself and believe that you're somebody. I said to a group last night, nobody else can do this for us. No document can do this for us. No Lincolnian Emancipation Proclamation can do this. twisted in language. They made everything black, ugly, and evil. Look in your dictionary and see the synonyms of the word black. It's always something degrading and low and sinister. Look in the word white. It's always something pure.
Right, let's get this language right. You're listening to the Pinckney Show. I am the Reverend Edward Pinckney. I tell you, people are listening not only here in these United States, but they're listening all over the world. They want to know what Reverend Edward Pinckney has to say. And I tell you, I like to have my people talk. I like to hear what other people have to say. I want to make sure that we're helping you. My main and my top priority is to help you. I'm going to bring on my good friend, a guy who wants people to go and with him to Cuba and talk about Cuba. And then I got to bring on my very, very good friend, Ralph Pointer. Ralph Pointer is fighting a fight. I don't even know whether I would have the strength to fight the way he's fighting. I mean, he's trying to get his wife, Lynn Stewart, out of jail. And our government had ignored him. But look, we have to apply more pressure. There's too many people out there listening not to stand up and fight. But we'll talk about that later. Right now, I got to bring on my good friend, Lee Robinson. Lee Robinson, are you there?
Hey, Reverend, how you doing today?
Man, I'm doing great, man. I tell you, you know, I'm trying to get myself fired up about that trip to Cuba myself, my brother. I've been thinking about it, and I would love to go to Cuba. And that would be the oasis of my life.
I tell you one thing, it's a trip that you can get excited about, because once you go one time, you always want to come back.
Yeah, I understand that too. I believe that's what it's all about. People have to experience other things from other countries and see how other people are living.
Yeah, that's it, because like I tell my friends all the time, they say, why do you go over there so much at least once a year? Because like a sick patient. I've been attacked by a disease. I need an antidote, some medicine to keep that disease away.
Mm-hmm.
And Cuba gave me the hope and aspiration to continue to carry on a daily basis, understanding that our ultimate goal is to help struggle against all injustice and fight for just humanity. And this is the kind of encouragement you get when you go to Cuba and see the kind of things that the people are doing and get a better understanding of their history. And also, more importantly, though, to understand that when we collaborate and talk to each other as human beings, good things come from that. So that's all we're trying to do. We're trying to live for each other's experiences, apply, and make sure we have a just society for all people. And Cuba is a good example, and as I said many times, the Cuba had made great contribution to the liberation movement and the struggling of African people in this country and throughout the world. So as a just person and a just people, at least at the minimum, we can go back and give our thanks to those who have made a constant choice to fight on the side of freedom, justice, and equality. And this is the kind of environment that you will be in when you go to Cuba. And this is the kind of environment that the U.S. policymakers don't want you to experience. Because it will come back and have a profound impact on you and make you realize, too, as a worker and as a struggling group of people, you, too, can make changes and bring about the kind of changes that the people in Cuba have brought about as it relates to workers, as it relates to women, as it relates to spiritual folks who understand the real issue is to fight for justice and fight for principles that will make human being better. So this is our crowd to our people and all just people to come. Come with an African World Association. See Cuba for yourself. Don't let nobody tell you what it is. You come and see for yourself. Then you be the judge. Because once you know the truth, nobody can never take that away from you, Robin Pinckney.
Yeah, you know one thing, Lee? Let me say this. Have they been Americanized yet with the McDonald's and Burger King and Long John Silver? Is that in Cuba also?
No, that's not in Cuba. You see very few of those commercial businesses in Cuba.
Uh-huh.
You see some, but you don't see that many. If you see any, you probably see some from out of Europe.
Uh-huh.
But the thing that the Cubans are conscious of, they don't want to import trash. They don't want to create an environment where people eat foods that will give you cancer and make you sick. See, that's one of the beautiful parts about Cuba, is we are conscious about the well-being of the folks and keeping them healthy. And when you walk to Cuba, you think you're in heaven. The land looks so beautiful. The people look so beautiful. The people act so beautiful. You will say you are in heaven on earth. And that's one of the things you will see. You want to get out of Cuba and be conscious in terms of making sure people get the kind of things they need to keep them healthy. Now, there are some things they do eat that may not be healthy for you, but not because of their choice, because they are making difficult choices just to survive because of the U.S. policy as it relates to the blockade. One of the things they have on the menu they'd like to have more of is greens. It's greens, and one of the things how to do is get food from the international community, healthy food, because the U.S. has a strong influence on other countries in terms of punishing them if they trade with them. So right now they are on the program where they can try to start growing green, vegetables, more fruits and vegetables and stuff internally. But you will see some, but it's not going to be dominant. You will see the kind of commercial stuff that you see in most Western countries, particularly like the U.S. They have no McDonald's over as of yet. And there are some things they are in the process of negotiating if they get on an equal turn, things that the people need that may come from this country or other country. But you better bet those are things that they need and will make them better, not things that would be given to people just to make money and but at the same time damage their lifestyle in terms of health.
And let me say this, in this country what they do, they care less about your health. Matter of fact, they don't care whether you live or die as long as you pay that money. And, that's with the McDonald's and the Burger Kings and the Wendy's and all that, that they call it meat, but that's not even real meat.
Exactly. We're eating so much of the crop, we begin to look like the animals.
Yeah, absolutely. Look like them, smell like them, and everything else. And it's really to one of the things that, that's amazing to me. How's the housing in Cuba?
Well, Cuba is an interesting country in terms of its perception. Because if you go to different provinces, they have different looks. And sometimes what you see on the outside ain't what it really like on the inside. The cover of the house for some might not look as attractive, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But you go on the inside, you'd be amazing of the condition and the housings of the folks. One thing we can say in terms of housing, as a whole, they don't have people out in the streets homeless. Now, the housing construction industry can improve, and they're working on that, but that, too, is a serious struggle because, again, when you talk about getting materials that you need to build things with, they are sort of limited because, again, they cannot go to the international market and negotiate these things because of the influence of the U.S.
Right.
And the cost of shipping stuff into Cuba because, right now, since 1898, they've been controlling one of the major ports of Cuba, Guantanamo. And that port is very important to the Cuban people because if they could get that port back into their control, which rights would belong to them, it would save them millions and millions of dollars shipping things into Cuba. Whereas right now, they don't have access to that port. And because of that, it causes millions and millions of dollars of shipping stuff into Cuba. They have to take longer routes.
Wow, that's amazing. There's no homeless people in Cuba?
They have no homeless people in Cuba. Cuba believes that when we talk about human rights, we must include the rights for people to have housing.
Mm-hmm.
When we talk about human rights, the people must have the right to a free education all the way up to university level. When you talk about human rights, you must talk about the issue of Cuba having free health care. And when you talk about human rights, people must have, health care, education, housing, and food. These are not something you negotiate. These are something that you must have just to be a human being. So Cuba has a economic policy and structure, where these things are provided for, to all the people from the state as a necessity, which makes it that when you have these things provided for, Your dads don't need to have, you know, millionaires making all the money, and most people have none. Dads sent them to make rich and wealthy folks. That was something they fought against and won since 1959. And that's another reason why the West has a problem with Cuba, because they don't believe in generating wealth just on an individual basis, where the individual becomes so powerful that it can dictate to a whole community. You will not see
like
that
in
Cuba.
The United States, huh?
Exactly. So you will not see that model
absolutely,
in Cuba.
Absolutely. And, you know, the Cuban medical, they're probably one of the finest in the whole wide world. You know, and they've been giving people, those who wanted to go to Cuba, which you could do all your get go to college there and get your medical degree there, which is so amazing, and I don't think it costs you a dime.
That is true. It's Elam School, Latin American School of Medicine. They set aside a school that will be geared towards countries of people of who are poor or who don't have the resources to properly take care of themselves to get this kind of medical education in that country. They have set aside a school where all of these students from all over the world can come to this particular school, and they will train them to become a doctor in all the medical areas of discipline. You choose what you want to be. When 6 years, you follow that rules of study, you become a doctor in terms of mastering the science and the craft of dealing with that particular discipline. Then one of the things you will do by going to that school is that you'll be transformed, if you haven't been transformed, or making sure that you know that medicine is for the use to serve the people and not to make money off it. You become more attached to the need to serve humanity. So you have a greater heart. You develop a greater heart for humanity, for people. And therefore, when you practice, you will always keep that in mind. So Cuba, not only do they produce some of the best doctors or the best doctors, because not only do they have the intellect, but they also have the compassion with the heart. And the two must go, and the two of these aspects must go together.
Wow.
That will make up a good doctor. And yes, they have a program for all the poor inner city kids in the United States. They have over, I think, like 500 slots a year where the students can come, and they can be offered a scholarship to come to school, come to Cuba, be trained for 6 years, don't have to pay no money. The only requirement is that once they finish their schooling and get their and be placed in some residency and finish everything in the country where they come from, they got to find some kind of way to offer some kind of affordable health care to their communities here in the United States. That's the only requirement they have. And you know, Robin Pinckney, that's a big advantage for anybody who wants to become a doctor, because in this country, one of the problems we have in the country, when students become doctors in the country, they are so indebted once they finish school, then they forget about the major purpose of their training. They forget that their training will geared toward to serve the people. They forget about it because they're so much in debt. They have to figure a way out of how do they make money just so they can get out of debt. And in terms of doing that, they don't become good doctors. They don't truly serve their patients. They serve themselves just to make money. So anytime somebody can get you over $1 million training education, you don't have to pay anything, that's a big jump. And on top of that, you get quadruple education. Because if you come up with a medical degree in Cuba, you can go anywhere around the world and work, and nobody will question you about your credentials or how well you know it. And that's the history and the reputation that Cuban people have received around the world in terms of their excellency in the field of medicine.
Wow. You know one thing, Lee? I knew about that program, and I'm excited about that program. I just wish that more of us would get involved with that program. How do you tell our people that even if you want to be a doctor, that you have an opportunity in Cuba to become a doctor and you don't have to worry about all the expense? How do we tell our people that? Because a lot of times we don't even want to go down the street or around the corner. Most of the time, we really don't do nothing. That's why we're in such a compromising position today.
Okay,
so that's my biggest concern, Lee.
Right. What I would say to that question, Robin Pinckney, is that there's an organization that is the caretaker of that program in the United States. They facilitate and do all the work and work with all the students to get them into medical school. And that caretaker of that program is called Pastors for Peace.
Mm-hmm.
It's based out of New York. And I would love to set up maybe an appointment with the sister who's one of the co-chair of Pastors for Peace, where they can come on your show. and talk to the people about the medical program and how they can give an application and apply to get in it. But
you know what, Lee? I would love him to come on. I'm going to be in New York the first week in December, and I'm hoping that maybe I can get a chance to meet him also.
Okay. It's two of them. It's two Robert Burials. It's a young lady named Gail Walker. Both of them are cool chair. What I would do is I'll set up an appointment with you and put you in contact with them where y'all can sit down and set up an appointment. Or where Valentine can maybe meet you in New York, we even come on your show. And talk
all
about
right,
this.
I want them to come on the show. They're welcome to come on the show anytime. I'd love for you to come on in and start talking about Cuba, because we don't get many people coming on the show talking about Cuba.
Yeah, you know, it's just unfortunate that prior before 1960, there was a very well connected consciousness around the relationship between the Cuban Revolution and the civil rights movements prior to 1960. There was a close connection between the two. And what the country decided to do, the establishment, is try to put a breakage in that relationship. So what they did was they created this. Matter of fact, they have a campaign where they're spending millions and millions of money to give out disinformation on Cuba, and particularly to separate the relationship between Cuba and blacks in America. Because historically, we have always had a strong historical linkage to each other, and brothers and sisters and work together. You know, anytime when African political leaders was in trouble, they could always retreat to Cuba, and they were given political asylum and protected there.
Absolutely.
Like today, our sister, Asada Shakur, she is still living there, which you know that the state of New Jersey has a $1 million boundary on her, dead or alive.
Mm-hmm.
They are constantly increasing the pressure to try to find some kind of way to exterminate her. And the only crime that she was guilty of was trying to serve her people. Everybody knows she never shot the police.
Mm-hmm.
And as a matter of fact, they tried to kill her. So Cuba has a great example in terms of protecting the interests and the needs of our people and being on their side. And that's the relationship they want to make sure don't develop no further. If you look at the history of our late brother Kwame Ture, formerly known as Stokely Carmichael, one of his last statements in the transition was that we must begin to gather support and seal our relationship with Cuba. You know, because to do that, you know, we will be helping to create a climate where it would be very hard for them to do underhanded things to the Cuban people, like in turn regime change. You know, they're trying to change the regime in Cuba to something that they want to be, where they can dictate to. And one of the things they're doing is trying to isolate the folks from finding out the real realities of Cuba and creating all kind of false propaganda and stuff. But unfortunately, you know, up to this point, the Cuban people are being so conscious and so well organized internally, all of their intelligence agencies are having a hard time to go into Cuba and cause some confusion like they do in other countries. Because they know that the threat to Cuba has over this country is not over military, not over economic power, but it's over ideological power, the balanced ideals. They have the principles and the values and ideals. As one team of beings begin to take a look at it, you know, they win you over. Because
absolutely. But listen to this. Look, you got about 60 seconds. Say whatever you want, then I got to move on. But I truly, truly appreciate you, because I tell you, that is something that I am very interested in, and I wish that more people would want to go to Cuba, not just for the medical, just to see how Cuba really is, because they gave Cuba a very, very bad name. Communism at one time was the worst word that you can ever come out of somebody's mouth here in the United States, but most people didn't understand what communism was. But look, you only got 60 seconds, say what you want, then I got to bring on my good friend Ralph Pond. Go right ahead.
Okay, to my brothers and sisters, please, if you're going to spend your money, if you're going to travel, travel where your money would benefit you. And I've said to you, the best place you can do this is to go to Cuba. All the resources that invest into Cuba are resources that will be invested into your community. Cuba is not your enemy. We must create a scenario where we can normalize relationship with each other. By doing this, we also will allow ourselves to have technology and resources that can better improve our lives in this country. There are so many inventions and medicines that the Cubans have that we don't have access to it because a few politicians are choosing to block that. So, again, come and see Cuba for yourself. Don't let nobody tell you what it is or what it isn't. We invite you to come with the African Wellness Association by calling 804-549-7492 and come with us. The trip is from December 18th to January 3rd. One of the treatments you'll get at this trip is you'll be at a four-day jazz festival. They have beautiful music and culture in Cuba, but more importantly, they are beautiful people. So, the objective is at least to get maybe 5 to 10 people from Robert Pittman Network to come to Cuba so they can come back and report to the people the real reality of Cuba. So please, give African Wellness a call, 804-549-7492. The price is inclusive for everything. So it's $19.95. So give us a call. We thank you.
All right, my brother. Thank you so much, Lee. And listen, I'm going to let you keep getting it out there and hoping that somebody will sooner or later call you and say, well, I'm on my way. But listen, I got to move on, but hey.
Good enough.
I want to let you know that I love you and keep up the good work. You hear?
You do the same. Thank you, Ron.
All right, my brother. Hey, nice now forward. It's showtime. We got to bring on my good buddy, my guy, my man, the man of the hour, Ralph Pointer, who's been fighting and fighting and fighting and fighting a good fight. You know, he's been doing the things that need to be done, things that everybody should be doing. Ralph Pointer's doing. He's out there. And I appreciate him. I appreciate every single thing he does because he understands exactly what's happening. My friend, my guy, Ralph Pointer, are you there?
Yes, I am, Reverend Pinckney, and I'm listening intently to your guest, and I would like to add that Cuba is one of the jewels on this planet. And if you have the opportunity and pass it up, you will have missed a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. As the Cuban ambassador spoke in the United States at the UN 10 years ago, made this statement, millions of babies around the earth go to sleep every night without a roof over their head or without food in their belly, and not one of them is Cuban. And only when a nation can say that do they have anything worth talking about. Cuba is one of the few nations that can say that. And so we owe a debt to the Cuban people and everyone who celebrates Nelson Mandela getting out of jail and becoming the premier of South Africa owes a debt to the Cuban soldiers who went and fought on the southern tip of Africa on that continent and beat the racist South African apartheid government, Israel, and United States. That triple evil axis that the Cuban people fought and won, and the settlement was Nelson Mandela gets out of jail. And so we all owe a tribute to the Cuban people, and we must remember the Europeans colonized the world and organized it according to color, and Fidel Castro and the Cuban people broke that. That's why you can send people there to learn medicine. Not only did they export education, they exported education in every field. They exported teachers, nurses. You could go to Cuba, learn language. They offer so much. And as you have been saying, Reverend Pinckney, we have to put our pennies where people, with people who support us. The Cuban people have supported our struggles, and as you mentioned, they supported Assata Shakur when she was removed from jail by liberation forces within the United States, and they put $1 million bounty on her head. And now President Obama and Holder have doubled that bounty to $2 million. Who's your friend? Learn who your friends are. Let us support the Cuban Revolution and the Cuban people, and therefore support ourselves. And I'd like to continue. Lynn Stewart and I went to Cuba years ago, and we were astonished, amazed, and in great wonderment of the wonderful place that Cuba is. And they have done great work. And Lynn, when she was out, people had said to her, why don't you go to Cuba? And she says, the Cuban people have fought their revolution and won, and they don't need the burden of Lynn Stewart. Lynn Stewart is going to stay here and fight, and we will fight with her for her liberation, because the onus is on us. And as Lynn Stewart has said on many occasions, it is not about other people in America. It is about us. Do we believe it, and are we going to fight for it? And we believe it, and we're going to fight for the liberation of Lynn Stewart. And I know if we can liberate her from prison, we will cure her. She is dying every day of cancer. And I know with people like Reverend Pinckney, people around the world praying and working and believing, there are miracles out there. And we are a miracle of the American people in that we have existed in America. Not only existed, we have survived, and we are still fighting the good fight for liberation for people, not only in America, but around the world. And so we must continue this struggle, and I would ask Reverend Pinckney, if you're sitting, because I am driving, we are continuing the calling into the federal government, to Samuelson and to the Bureau of Prisons, to Obama and to Holder. Every day, make that phone call. Let them know that people are out there. Go to the website. Sign on to the petition to free Lynn Stewart. She has less than a year to live now. Cancer is spreading throughout her body, and it's ludicrous for anybody to say she is a threat other than the same threat that Bradley Manning, Chelsea Manning, Edward Snowden, Julian Assange, Lynn Stewart, all of the truth speakers, the earth firsters who speak out against the destruction of God's very earth. They, as Lynn said, they are the ones that the government is after. They put them on a terrorist list, same as they put Lynn Stewart on a terrorist list for telling the truth about Egypt. It took Fidel Castro 10 years for history to absolve him. History absolved Lynn Stewart in 5 years when she said, when the people have the heel of the boot of oppression on their neck, they will throw it off by whatever means they have accessible. And I agree with that. And they said, therefore, Lynn Stewart is a terrorist. Well, the people of Egypt threw Lynn Stewart, threw Hosni Mubarak out. And guess who put the torturous dictator back in? United States supported the army that freed Hosni Mubarak from prison, absolved him of his crimes of killing students and people, of jailing people, and still Lynn Stewart is in jail. And so again, I remind people, know your enemy and know your friend. Lynn Stewart is our friend, and the government that keeps her in jail is the enemy. She didn't become our friend overnight. She became our friend through years, 50 years of fighting for education for people of the oppressed communities, the oppressed colonies within United States borders. That is the poor people, people of color, people of different languages. Lynn Stewart has been our friend, and we cannot allow someone who pretends to be our friend, that is President Obama, Eric Holder, the likes of the NAACP, to keep her in jail like they did Herman Wallace to the day before they were ready to die. He lasted 3 days out of jail. Marilyn Buck lasted 10 days out of jail. We must force this government to bring Lynn Stewart home. And everybody within in hearing this has a computer. Go to the Lynn Stewart website. Support Ramsey Clark. Support those people who are working to get Lynn Stewart out of prison. And Reverend, I look forward to seeing you in December. I know we can have a big reception for you. I am going to organize meetings where you can spread your information of stop shopping congregation. Keep our pennies in our pocket. I haven't tasted orange juice for so long I forgot what it tastes like. And you want to know something else? I don't miss it. We must boycott those. We must hurt those who hurt us willingly and with the impunity and immunity because we don't do anything. Let us follow Reverend Pinckney and do something before every city in the country is under fiscal emergency management. As you had said a while ago, I don't know how many fiscal emergency managers were trained, and you said it was more than one, so it is coming to you soon. It is not only Benton Harbor. Well, they've moved to Detroit, and I think of all of the cities where they will bring this, where they will continually sell Packard. I think the Packard factory was sold for less than $50,000. Can you imagine that? To a private corporation, they're privatizing the world. They are privatizing education. And that's why we have to go to Cuba to get education, because those who need it are not getting it. Can you imagine in the richest country in the world we have to send our students to Cuba to learn medicine? And what is the price? The price is to go back to your own community and practice medicine among the poor and those who need it most desperately. I tell you, they are writing a new chapter, and I am so happy to be a part of it, to be able to say, yes, I was in Cuba. I put my pennies to those who, and I wish I had more. I wish I had dollars to subsidize the country, the nation of Cuba, to do the work that they've been doing around the world, particularly in Africa. They are the ones, the country that supported the Angolans against the Portuguese. They supported the Congolese against the French. And one in every four families of Cuba has somebody in it that served in Africa fighting the oppressive imperialist government that we have here. And as Reverend Pinckney says, you know, stop the NAACP, boycott, burn your card. Let them know that we know who they are and where they are. And we must continue the fight. And I look forward to Reverend Pinckney carrying the message. And while we're sending pennies to those who support us, remember to send pennies to Reverend Pinckney. He's supporting us. The NAACP isn't. He's supporting us. The Democratic Party isn't. He's supporting us. Those preachers who do not support us should not get a dime. Let's send it all to Reverend Pinckney. Think of tithing. Those who tithe for their God. Well, when you do godly works on this planet, you are God. Let's send our money to Reverend Pinckney, and I'm going to lean back and listen to the rest of this program that Reverend Pinckney has for you today. Continue to struggle to support Lynn Stewart. Make those phone calls, 3 every day, and support those who support you. Thanks again, Reverend Pinckney.
And thank you so much, Ralph, and I want you to know that we love you and we love Lynn Stewart, and whatever needs to be done, I plan to be there, and I'll do whatever needs to be done to rally the people, or whatever needs to be. If we need to go to Washington, D.C. and picket the White House, I'm willing to go that too, do that. So you lay out the program, and on the 4th, Alton Mannox, I'm going to be speaking there. So that's where I'm speaking that Wednesday night. So anything other than that, I'm good.
And it's within walking distance where you stayed the last time you were in New York. You stayed with us, and Betty Davis's, I call it Betty Davis's Hotel.
All right. Hey, that's all we need to know.
Okay. Thanks again.
All right, my brother. All right. Hey. We got to talk to New Orleans right now. We've been down there. I got my girl down there. She was at the dinner, and she was spectacular. She was right on top of everything. Hey, and we Danny Glover had his own personal bodyguard, a young man who seemed like he was enjoying himself just being his bodyguard. And I got to tell you this, Belinda Brown, we love you here. Are you there?
Love you too, Pastor Pinckney. We love you so much, and you
are
awesome.
Before you get started, let me tell you this: they're getting ready to complete my book, Soldiers of Fortune. It should be out. You know, my birthday is next week. You already had your birthday, but my birthday is next week, and we're looking at the 1st of November for the book.
Oh, wow, that's great.
And Danny Glover, of course, wants to look at it so he can decide whether he can get funding for it to actually produce a movie itself. But he's coming to your town soon, too. And when he come, I'll be there with you.
All right, Pastor Pinckney. I won't have it no other way. I'm looking forward to that. I'm excited about that.
Hey, I'm very excited. I've definitely been in contact with them. I do have a DVD of the event that I'm going to send it to you. I also want to send it to you by email also, so you can have a copy of it and see yourself. Did you get those pictures that I sent out?
Yeah, those were some really nice pictures, Pastor Pinckney.
Are you just saying that because you was in it?
We enjoyed looking at you and your family the most, though.
Oh, yes. I mean, our family. That's how I look at it.
my family, right?
Yeah, absolutely. No question about that. But listen, I know you got something good and excited to tell us. Talk to me.
Pastor Pinckney, I'm just listening to the show. You're having a great show today, and there's so much going on, Pastor Pinckney. But let me tell you what the word is on the street. You know, I get out in the community, and listen to people, what they have to say, you know, what's on their mind, you know, about things that they're going through. And, I wanted to bring this across the show today because I know that, you know, you, along with many, many others that listen to your show, we need to start brainstorming some type of approach on how we're going to attack these churches and these pastors that won't stand up and address the issues that, you know, the community people are facing. You know, this is one of the things that they're saying that, you know, every time there's a program, you know, everybody flock to it. You know, it's church over here, church over there, revival over here, conference over there, up, down, everywhere. You know, everybody got something to do. And then as soon as we try to have a demonstration or a protest or, you know, dealing with community issues that where people are suffering and, you know, got their families and stuff, all in array with all the atrocities and stuff that's going on in our communities, the murders, the killings, the courts, you know, just one thing after the next. I can name so many things that people are being oppressed, you know, by especially here in Louisiana from, you know, government corruption, from, you know, people, being left living up under the bridges after their money and stuff been stolen and taken away from them during Katrina. It's just so many things. But Pastor Pinckney, just tell me what you got on your mind about that. When people tell me that Belinda, it's this church as usual stuff is just, it's almost like a stomach ache.
Belinda, that's how they keep everybody divided with the church. You know, actually, the movement started in the church. And what they did, like you may have heard me say this before, see, one of the things that Martin Luther King did, he took the church out of the building and put it in the community. When he died, the pastors came back and took it out of the community and put it back in the church. So what you have to do, you have to tell them, you know, here's what I do. I call them all out. I call every last one of them out. And I make sure that they understand that we're serious about what we're doing and how we're doing this thing. And you have to do it, because what they'll do, they'll line up with their congregation, and then they'll be against you. But that's what they want, anything to conquer and divide the community. And that's what they'll be doing. But don't worry about that. Just do what you do. You know, if they get in your way, just run them over and use the Bible scriptures on them. Because, you know, most of them don't want to do that no way. All they want to do is get up on Sunday and hoop and holler and entertain their congregation and then get them tithes and offering and take their butt home and drive their Cadillac home and be happy. So we have to stop them. The point is, we can do it if we really want to. The point is, we usually give ministers a free pass because we believe in our heart that God may not like it. But mm-hmm. God tells you what to do. He, you know what you do. You have to do it. But Belinda, don't let them stop. I know when I get down there, we have a couple of meetings, and we'll invite them, and I'll talk about them for about 20, 30 minutes, maybe get them on their feet a little bit, and then maybe we'll be able to do something with them.
Well, Pastor Pinckney, you know that, you know, my heart is really heavy for Mr. Victor, because this man, you know, not only that he was very prominent in the community, you know, as a businessman, as a brilliant man with development and stuff in his community that he lived in, but he was also, you know, a pastor. You know, he was a praise and worship leader. Him and his wife, they had their own CDs and music and stuff, you know, praise music, you know, being a blessing to people. And it just really baffles me that the fact that, you know, when you know, the community, they see this upstanding citizen, this man that brought so much, you know, to you know, a community such as, you know, a small town, predominantly black, you know, and then all of a sudden, you know, this man get attacked by the criminal justice system and no one wants to stand up in support of this man. We can't even get, you know, people to come out and, you know, demonstrate or else come out and pack the courtroom for this man, Pastor Pinckney.
But you know one thing, Belinda Brown? Here's how they do. They demonize him so bad, and it scares people. See, one thing, see black people, they walk around here like they're so tough, but they're not really tough. They're scared. They're scared to death. Like, you couldn't, like, even here in Benton Harbor, for them to walk across that bridge to that courthouse, wow.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they'll tell you in a minute, I am not going over to that courthouse messing with them people. They said, I don't want them to get me, but they already got you. But we have to keep pushing them, Belinda. I mean, these ministers don't see. Here's one thing they don't understand. When they collect them tithes and offerings, it's supposed to go to the community.
Right.
That's what it's designed to do. You take care of your church, and then you got to take care of the community. That's why people pay 10%. They don't pay 10% for the pastor to go around here in the Cadillac. They don't pay 10% to hear him for being in one of these old 20-room mansions.
That's what's on the horizon down here. It's on the horizon, and it's rising people up because of the fact that people are not, that these churches are basically becoming desolate down here because
mm-hmm.
people are so tired of what you just said. You know,
yeah.
People are ready to, they are ready to, you know, organize and mobilize to stand up and fight for their rights down here. You know, the churches is like I say, the churches is really becoming desolate because people do not want to be bothered with that foolishness and that nonsense where it's just church as usual. And then you got what you just said, you got the pastors, all they concern is, you know, is what they're going to get out of it and what, you know, church is doing for them, not for the people. So, you know, I'm really looking forward to you coming down here, Pastor Pinckney, and, you know, because the people are taking the streets now. They're coming out from behind these four walls. They don't want to be bogged down with this church stuff, okay, anymore, okay?
Yeah.
And that's not to bring any type of discredit to God, but people are saying that they're sick and tired of the church as usual because, you know, church is not about God anymore. It's all about a show, and people is tired of that, Pastor Pinckney.
Hey, I know I am too. I am so sick of these ministers trying to entertain these folks and not feed them, and they go home hungry, you know. Once that entertainment wears off, it's all over. So, you know, we have to do things and take things to the next level, and don't let them try to stop it because they'll try to gang up on you too. They good at that too. They'll, because, you know, you're getting ready to cut off that food chain, that gas money, that Cadillac, you know. You're getting ready to cut it off when you challenge them and wake these folks up. So we have to get out here and wake them up and make sure they understand. They, you know what, they got a program on TV now. I mean, this is the most sickening thing I have ever heard.
I know what you're talking about, Pastor Pinckney. Tell me what you think about that show because I might have an opinion, you know, to that show.
Here's what I don't like. They got a guy on there, one of the ministers, say he like pornography, the pornos. He love it. He say he have naked women on his computers and stuff like that. And
what?
I got a major problem with that. And, that's the young guy. The young guy is five of them on there. Noel Jones and
the other guy named.
I like the other guy, but he kind of like tore his drawers with me a little bit. Because, I don't like the way they talking. And even Noel Jones, I love me some Noel Jones. I listen to him all the time.
I've only been
on
a couple of times, but the show is bringing about a lot of controversy in the church because, you know, I be listening to the young people talking about this show, right? And it's Bishop Jones, Dietrich Hatton, I'm trying to think all of them, McClinton.
Yeah, McClinton, that's the one I'm thinking of. I like him.
Okay, well, listen, Pastor Pinckney, let me tell you what the young people saying about this show. Matter of fact, I just got out of a big discussion about that show with my kids.
Uh-huh.
And this is what they saying, you know, Tasha and all of them, right? They saying that this show, okay, it's got like people like T.D. Jakes and a lot of the real leading ministers upset because they betraying what they doing is turning people against the church, okay?
Yeah.
And the conversation was is that, you know, where people are already saying that they fed up with the church as usual stuff anyway. So, you know, a lot of these people that's worshiping pastors and worshiping bishops, you know, because you know how some of these people are, Pastor Pickney.
Mm-hmm,
you know,
mm-hmm.
they worship their pastors and they bishops and all this kind of stuff like they God. And then, like what we was talking about, like, well, what about what's going on in the community? Why is churches such a, you know, everybody is closed into these four walls, but then soon when somebody talk about what's going on in their community, like, you know, like what we're dealing with the prison system, oppressing people in the court
uh-huh.
system.
Uh-huh.
And the corruption in the government and all this kind of stuff. You know, why come the church won't get involved with the real issues that is oppressing people and that's really...
You know what? If they do, they'll cut them off that... They'll cut them off, Belinda. Uh-oh, I think
right.
I lost
and so it. I had one pastor tell me, he say, Belinda, you know you can't be messing with them people because them the people we got to go to get our grant money.
That's exactly what I'm going to get ready. You missed that because that's what they do. They got that faith-based money. And now
right,
they got,
Pastor Pickney, that's exactly what he was talking about. I told him to get out of my face because that's the problem with us now. You know,
uh-huh.
we sell out. You know, all we want to do is sell out and run and hide, you know. And then when the people need us, but then we want to get up behind the pulpit and put on a big show like we preaching about God and the blood of Jesus and the power of this and the power of that. And we running around here talking about Jesus' blood is power in the blood of Jesus, and they got chicken blood.
Yeah. You said the magic word, chicken blood, too. That's what they are. And the first thing they say, I ain't going to lose my money. I ain't going to lose my grant money. I ain't going to lose this. But they,
I'm here to tell you that the churches is falling to the wayside and the people is walking up out of these churches. They don't want nothing else to do with these fake churches
mm-hmm.
that, you know, portraying to be something that they're not.
Absolutely. Well, listen, Blaine.
They don't
listen.
Have the power of God. God ain't showed up in them. God ain't showed up in these churches. And Pastor Pickney, I'm here to tell you this is the truth.
Mm-hmm.
God is not there, and a lot of these people going there looking for God, and they can't find God, and they running around like chickens with their head cut off because people need help. Okay?
They sure do, Belinda. They sure do. But Belinda, I gotta move on because I got a full house tonight. But if you want to come back at the end, I'll let you finish it off while we listen to Wake Up Everybody.
Well, Pastor Pickney, I want to say this. I think they done shot themselves in the foot, Pastor Pickney.
All right. Well, let's
and
hope that they're bleeding.
And people
are
not going to tolerate that no more. People don't want
to
be
That's right. Let's
picked.
Show them that we're not going to tolerate that mess no more. Let's hold them
right.
accountable for their action and inaction. But listen, Belinda, I got to let you go. If you do, I'm giving you 60 seconds to say whatever you want, and I got to bring on Dr. Short.
Well, what I want to say, Pastor Pickney, I'm looking forward to you coming down here. I'm looking forward to you. Bringing Danny Glover and we really bringing about a real true movement for the people that don't want to be bothered with any foolishness. People are hurting and people want to be real and true to what they can do to stand up and fight for their rights and get justice for all people.
All right, Belinda. Hey, I want you to know, tell the family I love them. Tell Tasha she still can't cook, but we'll talk soon.
Okay, Pastor Pickney, we talk soon.
All right.
All right, bye now.
All right, take care now. Hey, now it's time to bring on the doctor himself, who have performed several operations. My man from Washington, D.C., Dr. Short, are you there?
Reverend Pinckney, I am here. And Reverend Pinckney, everything that has been said, that woman who just spoke, was in my soul. I did not go to church today. In fact, I've been boycotting. Our church had a phone meeting about Africa, and They argued so much about money, I was disgusted. I hung up, and I said, I'm not going this Sunday. I'm tired of this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, insanity can be defined as doing the same thing over and over and over again. I called up my sister, Sister Empress Filet of the Million Woman Movement. As you know, we're having a march charging the government, or should say a rally charging the government with genocide on the 25th, this Friday. It'll be small, but we'll have a follow-up one in May. But I was talking to her about the need for us to establish, and I'm putting this out here, a bureau to monitor religious organizations in our community and to do reports. You know, anybody with Intellius or any of those little credit things, we could find out who some of these religious teachers are. A lot of them are frauds and phonies. You know, I was thinking about my father today. That show, The Preachers of L.A., came out on October 9th, which happens to be my father's birthday. And my father, you know, did not die a rich man, but all of his life served people. And I was watching parts of The Preachers of L.A. Just the other day, just trying to see it because, you know, I'm already going to be disgusted. We need a movement, and I've said this, Reverend Pinckney, I've charged you, I'm going to say it on the public airways. We need a confessional church. They had it in Nazi Germany. Some of the churches wanted to follow Hitler, and a handful wanted to follow Jesus. A handful of them wanted to serve humanity, be against war and genocide. Reverend Pinckney, it's time for you to step up and be a bishop, although you're Baptist. We can trust you. We need a new movement, a movement. In fact, we should also begin to get folks to meet in their homes. Don't go to these churches. I spoke with Cynthia McKinney. I told folks we need to do a tithe cut. Don't give money to any church where the people are not activistic in the community. The minute that those buildings begin to close or they can't turn the lights on or whatever, folks are going to switch their business. I know people who trained to study to be ministers like I did all over. They're not ordained. The folks who care about people can't get in. And the folks that don't care, that all agree to be thugs, they're the ones that have the church on lockdown. It's the same way we have the same thing. We have these Greek letter folks. We have these Masonic folks. You know what I'm saying is true. These folks serve other gods. They're into all kinds of strange stuff. And it shows. I also want to concur with that brother. I went to Cuba in 2001 and met Asada Shakur. I went to that school. Our churches should be having schools like that here. These people collect billions of dollars. How could we be so screwed up as a people with some 50,000 churches in this country or more? 65,000, depending on whose count you use, with all of those folks, if they came together, none of the problems that we talk about could exist. None.
Mm.
And yet nobody, I mean, we could have banks, you name it, like the Chinese and everybody else, but you see, these people derive their wealth and their power from keeping us divided, stupid, poor, and superstitious. And that is intentional. There's not a city in this country that those folks don't come together and do politics for their own personal advancement, but they're never thinking about the people. These are false shepherds. These are false prophets. In case folks don't know, a lot of these folks are on their way to hell. They're going to bust it open, or they may have to find some nuclear reactor to heat it back up because they're so super cold towards the needs of the people.
Mm.
So, you know, this is what I was saying to Sister Empress, that we need a group where we follow up and we make recommendations. You know, when you go to a restaurant, they'll have Zagat on the door. They should pay us to come in and certify whether their church is worth attending or not. And if you don't see the Banco sticker, that this is a church that stands for people, don't go there.
Mm.
Or go there at your own risk. The same way you're going to get some rat doodoo in your food, you're going to get some rat doodoo in your spirit.
Remember, the church is where actually the movement started.
But the church has been hijacked.
Right. And like I said, that's with them government dollars.
The government dollars.
I heard T.D. Jakes say the other day that he didn't get his money from the congregation or anything like that. But that's not really true. You know, they all get them dollars from the church, and they, I don't know whether they invest in their money or who money, but that's how they get to be wealthy, and with this faith-based money. That's the thing. They get millions and millions of dollars of faith-based money, these big churches.
You know what people really need to push for? We should push for taxation of it.
That would be wow.
That would end all this garbage. When you're getting money like that, you need to pay taxes. When your folks are on welfare and you've got a heliport at your house, you need to pay some taxes. I don't care what anybody says. We need to start taxing the churches. They should pay they're asking us for 10%. They should give 10% of what they make. Do you know how many people would get out of the business? Because all of them know goodness well that the tithe was collected for was to take care of the widows, the orphans, the needy, not to make people fabulously wealthy where they're drinking out $100 crystal goblets. That is a fraud. This is what made Jesus go into the temple and whip some butt. In fact, someone needs to go in and beat up these people. The same way down in Louisiana, this preacher who was screwing this man's wife got himself shot and killed. Folks are beginning to rebel against this. And that all segues to what nobody's really talking about, and that's the $4 billion cut from the supplemental nutritional program called, also known as food stamps or welfare. How many people are going to go hungry now? If the churches, with their faith-based money, and their old processed food that's giving everybody diabetes because it's got so much sugar and salt in it.
Right. And they think they're doing something. They give it if the food is old and everything else. And they tell them we have food giveaway. And people be lined up like this thing is serious.
Yeah, and you know what? They'll be lined up at the doctor's offices with non-Cuban-trained doctors who simply want to cut off feet and toes and fat. I was at the Cuban intersection, and they have a celebration on the 22nd here at the Cuban intersection. I'm going to be there for culture, Cuban culture day is the 22nd. They have a cure. The Cubans have created a cure for meningitis and other things back in 2000. Think of all the people dying from these viral diseases that there's a cure for right now in Cuba that the American government doesn't want them to know about. They also don't want to let people know. And we see every day black folk riding scooters around like they are easy rider because they have toes or feet or part of their leg cut off because of diabetes. Cubans have a treatment where that doesn't have to happen anymore. And this racist, hateful, fascistic, brutal government would rather see people have their body limbs cut off, their feet cut off, their toes cut off and suffer and sell scooters at a premium than for people to walk around with their natural legs because they don't want people to realize that there's something that they had in Cuba. They had something in Libya. They've got something in Venezuela. They even have something in Iran. Even they don't starve like we do here with sanctions. Something is crazy about this country, and the reason that they hijack the church, and they've always had agents. Remember J.H. Jackson? He's in Chicago. That's where you grew up. J.H. Jackson fought against Martin Luther King. It was a bunch of, forgive me, down south we call them nigger preachers.
It wasn't just him in Chicago. Matter of fact, it was all of them. Not one of them wanted Martin Luther King to come to Chicago. Matter of fact, they had big headlines in the Chicago Sun-Times, Martin Luther King is a devil from hell.
And my bishop told folks, my father's folks didn't even go to the March on Washington. They were told Martin Luther King was a communist on his way to hell. People prayed. I mean, if you look at the March on Washington, you realize in 1963, you had about 400,000 black folks in D.C. You didn't see many of them down there at the mall because the preachers.
Yeah.
In this city where I live, out of hundreds and hundreds of ministers, only 16 supported Dr. Martin Luther King. Then all these fake black neck preachers who are on their way to hell get up and say that they marched with Martin Luther King, and Martin Luther King is rolling over in his grave like he's some, you know, wind tunnel. That's how crazy it is. But you see, this food crisis that's coming, this foreclosure crisis that's coming, this grand bargain that this Satan called Obama, who's nothing but an antichrist, enemy to the people, who's allowing all of this targeting of individuals, this woman to be murdered and assassinated right in front of the Capitol almost. This guy Obama, when people see him for who he is, and when they realize that Eric Holder is nothing but a Barbadian blackneck, he's one of the people that made certain that Amadou Diallo's family didn't get justice after he was shot 27 times for producing his wallet. When people find out that this blackneck, Susan Rice, another Caribbean type that's faking as an African-American and she don't want nothing to do with us, with her little crooked husband who's Canadian and a Khazar, when we start waking up and realizing that it's like the invasion of the black neck body snatchers. None of the people who are who you think they are. The preachers aren't for real. The leaders aren't for real. You got, what, Reverend Al Sharpton looking like Aretha Franklin with a gastrointestinal bypass. I mean, all of this insanity. He's the number one leader. He looks like a crook or a drag queen or both. How we've got to wake up. We've got to unite and work with other people, and we need to be careful because it's real critical, because when food runs out, Ralph Pointer can tell you, and I can tell you in Cuba, and it all came to mind. I ran out of money when I was in Cuba, but do you know that you could go in Cuba and the government had special stores? They made certain that there was bread and the basics for people. I could go and get several things for just about a dollar to fill my belly. America doesn't have this. These nigger preachers don't have this. When folks are hungry, there's going to be bread riots in this country. How? What do you do if you can't eat? If you have no income and they take this, what will you do if you can't eat?
Right. Well, you know, when people get hungry enough, they'll fight. That's the only thing that, you know, you can be homeless, but you won't fight. But if you're hungry, you will fight. You are not going to starve to death. Not if there's food on somebody's counter and on somebody's shelf. You're not going to do it. That's why they keep these little food pantries giving you this old food to kill you. So, because they know if you get hungry enough, you're going to fight. But listen, Dr. Short, look, I got to give you 90 more seconds to say whatever your heart desires. And then I got to go to my TI, and then I got to bring Mary on, because Mary, she's been so patient and so sweet that I got to bring her on, but I got to go to my TIs. So go on and give me, you got 90 seconds, say whatever you want, and we'll see what happens at the end of the show.
Reverend, I want to let everybody know, if they're in Washington, D.C., be in touch with me, wrandyshort@gmail.com. I am representing Benko with the National Million Women's Movement. And in addition to that, on the Saturday, I'll be doing a presentation on Depo Provera to the union, Black Trade Unionists, down in Richmond, Virginia. We're moving forward. Tell folks, stand up, fight back, down with black necks, and up with liberation, up with the people. Stop targeting individuals. Support each other. Bless y'all. Bye-bye. I'm out.
All right, Randy Short. That's my good friend, Dr. Short, who's been doing some magnificent work. And we love you, Randy. You just hang in there. Also, it's nice, the TI time, the target individuals, people who have been targeted by our government. And I tell you, I have had my time with these TIs. I tell you, you know, I've been doing this for many, many years. But it seemed like I had more fight with the TIs than I had with the government. But it's okay. I'm not going to give up. I plan when I go to Washington to meet and discuss the situation with the TI. But now I got to bring on my good friend, my guy, John Brown himself. Ken, are you there?
Yes, I'm here, Reverend Pinky. Thank you a lot.
All right.
I don't know how many of you seen it last week. A court reporter on C-SPAN, she got up and got the microphone. She said, we've never had a constitution in this country. It was wrote by the Masons. They're serving both sides. They're not serving God. She said, we better get right with God. And they grabbed her and took her off the stage. They said, we don't know what happened to her. She's a well-liked lady. We don't know what happened. Well, I can tell you what, Elvis, you got a conscience. I'm sure they don't know nothing about that. But there's going to be more of them waking up and get a conscience before long here, because it's coming down. All of them think they're going to go along and do this evil against the TIs and anybody else. They're going to find out what it's all about. I'm kind of glad I am a TI. At least I know what they're doing to me. I know what they're doing to other people. Don't realize it's being done to them, too, while they're serving this devil. It's terrible what people do to other Americans. And then I'm going to tell everybody on here should go to stopthecrime.net and read about what really happened to Aaron Alexis. That lady's got so much stuff up about him, and I hadn't seen anything yet on the lady they assassinated in front of the White House, but she's got a lot of good stuff on Aaron Alexis, and it's stopthecrime.net. And did you know, Reverend Pinkney, all the banks announced starting November 17th, they don't care how much money you got in the bank. If you got millions of dollars, you can only draw out so much a day, and you can no longer transfer any money out of their bank overseas or to any other country. So what's that telling you? People better start getting ready and waking up.
That's right. Keep telling us, Ken. You got to keep telling us, because, you know, people don't listen. They don't listen until it's too late.
Well, they're going to be listening for long.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, Ken. And I tell you, you know, it's amazing, you know, that you brought that up, because I just read something about the banks just the other day and how banks now are almost they are in control of this country. And what they say goes, whether you like it or not. If they want war, it'll be war. If they want to target people, they'll target people. They do whatever they want to do. We got a job. We got to stop it. It's more of us than them. And that should be our message to everybody.
Exactly. Anyway, I'm in California, Reverend Pinkney. I'll let you get on the rest of them. I know everybody else wants to talk in your shorter time. And I appreciate it.
Hey, you know what, Ken? I miss you already. And listen, take care of yourself. You hear?
Okay, thank you.
All right, we need you. All right, now it's time to bring on my good friend from Pennsylvania. The girl who can talk, and also she can do some things, and she can explain to people exactly what's going on. My friend, Glory. Glory, are you there?
Yes, I am, Reverend Pinkney. I'm here.
All right, talk to me. Tell me what you need us to know.
All right, this is what I need everyone to know. Get out your pencils and papers. You should be taking notes.
All right,
just
now you're there.
You
she just
questions.
Said you should be taking notes.
Yes, because just in case you have questions, we'll have a number at the end of this article. But I received this, the American Free Press, and the article in the American Free Press is called Navy Yard Shooter Fits Mind Control Profile. Accusations that Navy Yard shooter Aaron Alexis was mind controlled are not that far-fetched. And when the churches started receiving the 501c3, that was through Lyndon Baines Johnson, because he saw how the churches pulled together for Martin Luther King, so that's how he separated them. That was under Lyndon Johnson.
You are absolutely correct. You have the information.
Mm-hmm.
Go right ahead.
All right. Well, what I have here, for more than a half a century, U.S. intelligence agencies and every branch of the military have been perfecting dangerous mind-control technologies designed to remotely control human subjects against their will. Could it be that these monstrous weapons now are being used to create Manchurian candidates capable of committing heinous acts on U.S. soil? The bizarre case of Aaron Alexis, the 34-year-old naval contractor who authorities say killed 13 people in Washington, D.C., the Washington, D.C. Navy Yard on September 16th, certainly fits that profile. On August 7th, Newport, Rhode Island, police responded to the Marriott Hotel and made contact with Alexis, who reported that he was being stalked by two black males and one black female, According to the police report, Alexis believed that the three were sent to follow him and keep him awake by talking to him and sending vibrations into his body. Alexis said he first heard voices coming through the wall of the Residence Inn. He then moved to a hotel on the Navy base where he heard the same voices through the walls, floor, and ceiling. Finally, Alexis moved to the Marriott where he reported hearing voices coming from the floor and ceiling and told police that the three individuals were using some sort of microwave machine to penetrate his body with vibrations so he cannot fall asleep. It has also been reported that Alexis carved the words, "My Elf Weapon," into the stock of the Remington 870 shotgun that was used in the massacre. ELF is an acronym for Extremely Low Frequency, which has been proven capable of manipulating natural brain frequencies by way of pulse-modulated microwave beams. When ELF-modulated microwave beams are used, patterns of brain waves called preparation sets, which exist for every mechanical gesture of the body that the body makes, explained researcher Taryn Reifert in the 1996 article for Science Magazine Nexus. There are also specific excitation potentials which exist for specific emotional states. Intelligence operatives can induce remote conditioning by creating information processing effects which can cause excitatory reactions, subliminal stress, behavioral arousal, enhanced suggestibility by inhibition of higher functions and pattern and pattern behaviors. It is alleged that the technology is used by the CIA and the M15 to modify the behavior of high-profile subversives. Prior to the development of ELF weaponry, Dr. Jose Delgado at Yale University, psychologist whose research was funded by the CIA and the Office of the Naval Research, developed a brain implant known as the Stemocever, which operated on FM radio waves and was capable of electrically manipulating a wide range of human emotions, sensations, and color visions. In one experiment, Delgado remotely stimulated the brain of an 11-year-old boy who was convinced he was a girl. By the late 1960s, Dr. W. Ross Addy of UCLA, a psychologist who allegedly worked on the CIA-funded Pandora Project, discovered that brain waves could be remotely influenced without implants by simply placing a subject in an electromagnetic field. Addy, who found the ELF signals in the range of 1 to 5 hertz, could deliver dramatic bioactive and psychoactive effects that could control human minds from a distance. Another scientist, Alan H. Fry, also conducted experiments on human subjects and determined that even the deaf were capable of hearing transmissions from appropriately pulsed microwave radiation at a distance of up to 320 feet. Fry's research would later be used by Dr. Joseph C. Sharp of the Walter Reed Army Institute of Research in the development of wireless voice transmission technologies for the Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency, or DARPA, in 1973. The military's interest in radio frequency, or RF, induced mind control did not stop there. according to a recently declassified Army document from 1998 entitled Bioeffects of Selected Non-Lethal Weapons, application of the microwave hearing technology could facilitate a private message transmission. It may be useful to provide a disruptive condition in a person not aware of the technology. Not only might it be disruptive to the sense of hearing, it could be psychologically devastating if one suddenly heard voices within one's head. By the turn of the century, the Army acknowledged developing a voice-to-skull device, which they described as a non-lethal weapon, which includes a neuro-electromagnetic device which uses microwave transmission of sound into the skull of a person or animals by the way of pulse modulated microwave radiation, and two, a silent sound device which can transmit sound into the skull. Similarly, it was revealed in 2007 that DARPA was working on a sonic projector that delivers sound that can only be heard by the intended target. Of course, these are only a few of the many declassified projects that the U.S. government has been kind enough to share with the American people. What else, anyone, what else they've done is anyone's guess.
Wow.
Thank you for listening. And if anyone has any questions, the number to call on Wednesday at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time is 218-632-0460, and the PIN number is 726-47687. And we appreciate your calls, and we'll work hard to answer them. And what they're telling you now is most of us are chipped because we were their experiment, and they've experimented long enough that now they don't need a chip. They can just get you into an electromagnetic field and do what they want to do to you. So I feel that everyone that has heard this should pass it on and also go to stopthecrime.net. It's some awesome information. And anything you want to ask us, please call on Wednesday.
Thank you so much, Gloria. That was tremendous. Give somebody something to think about. But right now I got to bring on my good friend, Dorothy. She's been waiting, waiting, and waiting. Dorothy, are you there?
Hey, I'm here. Doing? I'm going to read a list of information. I'm going to ask you just to hold off, listeners. But I want to read this and just kind of begin to scan your experience in your lifetime. Groups that bullied, beat up, harass, and even murder anyone who opposed those in power. They would manufacture global economic crashes, and then they would blame others for those reasons. They would take control of national security issues, police, and then they would become more elite. They were of a knightly order, and they believed that their blood, that they were selected, and that they would then make themselves the super knighthood. They would actually believe not in normal practices of religion, as most of us know, but in pagan organizations, replacing typically Christianity. They would see themselves as superhumans and superheroes. They would, in fact, use blood ritual, human sacrifices, executions, and see it as if the gods demanded them to do so. They would believe in runes, runic spells, tribal life. They believe that they were around for 2,000 years, longer than that which was the Roman Empire, and that they would rule forever. They would also, they were into Atlantis, the mystic powers believed to be theirs, that they could have them and that they could control them. They believed that they, in fact, were the original Camelot after King Arthur's court. And they sought to find all secrets and to hold those as if they were their own. They would travel the world, and they also believed in not just discounting historical fact, but rewriting truth, recreating it, and then putting together what's known as crackpot sciences. Who am I speaking of, you may ask? None other than Nazi Germany. None other than Nazi Germany. And when did this start? 1919. What you may want to start checking out is look at the History Channel, and again, I'm going to caution you by being discerning, because one of the things that's really important is this History Channel, or even on YouTube videos, it was the History Channel, the Nazi Gospels. And the importance of this is that not everything you see or read is true. But again, I'm going to let you know that they believed in discounting historical facts, recreating the facts as they wanted to be supportive, and then putting out what they wanted to put out as actual facts. Now, these are the people that were brought here under Operation Paperclip after 1947. These were also the same people that said that they were the super race, that they were the brilliant people. Now, I'm going to also kind of go a little bit backwards and talk to you about a few things that I've been looking at, because I was watching the History Channel and doing some other research in which they were talking about Africa and the area of the pyramids. And you have to understand that a lot of the people that are talking about these things are discussing that, you know, they brought over these monumental super tonnage of stones, and they would, how could they have done this? Did they do that on rollers and with, you know, and they keep bringing up the issues of aliens. Well, I don't know if, I don't believe we're the only ones in the universe. But again, for any of you out there who have ever, you know, been in an art class where you begin to, you know, use sand, you use pottery wheels to create things, the Egyptian people were first people of color. They were not white, although their entire coloring system, if you will, is a spectrum, you know, from the purple blacks of Africa to even light-complected. But there are people of color. And these were the people that put together brilliant pieces of landmarks. This also goes back to the Aztecs, and people keep saying, well, how was it? And they keep pushing this issue of aliens. You know, again, if you look at kilns are superheated baking ovens of today. And you understand that in the desert, in Africa, it gets really very hot. And what most people don't even know that is when you have silver and gold, which was commonly around in that time, and you could pour it as a very thin layer, and then you can polish it and you can bend it, it actually can become a reflective mirror. Now, when you have that, do you remember it all when you were little and you were out looking, and there may have been a not-so-nice guy around you or a person around you that was using a piece of glass and reflecting to burn an ant? What it did is it virtually used the sun through a piece of glass or a mirror to superheat something to burn it. Well, that's pretty much like a baking kiln. And the idea is that most of the things that we're looking at in Egypt can actually be explained through basic sciences rather than through mysticism or through the questions of aliens or, as Dr. Short so very adequately said, through superstition and religions. And it's often been said that religions have kept people, if you will, believing that the people who lead them, kings or queens, bishops, popes, or other, are superior. And yet we keep forgetting that who have been the people throughout history, no matter what culture you go to, who has killed more people, brutalized more people than any other group of people, typically religions, monarchs, leadership. Now, when you take this and then you begin to look at the fact that we were all divinely brought to this planet. And when you are brought to this planet, and you then go back historically and you think of the great creators, the great inventors, Michelangelo, George Washington Carver, an African-American who made from one peanut 300, ladies and gentlemen, inventions. 299 he gave to humanity because he believed that since he got these ideas from God, he believed he wanted to share them with people. Now, that is a great person. But you also look at our planet and you think Michelangelo, Copernicus, Aristotle, most of the great inventors were actually sanctioned and isolated by the church or the leadership because they weren't willing to stay within the parameters. They wanted to invent. They wanted to be everything in their life. And yet what has been happening over the centuries? How is it that so many of us can be physically, sexually, psychologically, or technologically brutalized from the day we are born, which I will say is a means of controlling us, denying us the right to have not only true information, but to choose how and what we want to do and grow up to be able to create great things and understand things. And this really is about a level of control and abuse, which even is supported in our sciences. So, for instance, a gentleman by the name of Huey Long, you can go to YouTube videos. He was the governor of Louisiana in the 30s. He actually said of Standard Oil, now that's owned by the Rockefellers, that because the oil was below the surface of America that the Rockefellers were gaining, Huey Long believed in the 30s that Rockefellers should be able to keep $5 million worth of oil, but the rest of the profits, which are Americans, because we are all American working this land, that we should have been able to get that money, and every American should have had a home, a car, they should have been able to have a radio, that's what they had at that time, technology. They should have been able to have afforded to be able to feed their children and have great education. And yet, Huey Long, who then went on to become a senator from a U.S. senator from Louisiana, would actually try to challenge Franklin Delano Roosevelt for the president. And he was going to be doing that, in which he was going to even set on its ear the current profit system of this country, where very wealthy people keep getting wealthier, and everybody else, if you dare to want to be who you were born to be, by divine right. It's not the Pope or queens or kings. You were brought here because of divine right, which is what we need to become and begin to claim, that had he not have been assassinated, he would have set this country on its ear, because we all have a right to the profits that are coming from under our feet. That oil in many cases, for those who had homesteads or lands across this country, that oil has come from underneath our feet, which was our property, minerals and all that other stuff. So again, when we begin to be putting together the information, it's time for us to stand up together and said, I have a right to be born and stay pure. You're 100%. And in some churches, they believe in original sin, nothing personal, but that has been long paid for. And yet that attitude, which is myth or somebody else's means of harming and hurting human beings through sexual abuse, physical, psychological, and technological abuse of its time, it continues to happen but is escalating. And the sad fact is, and I'm going to kind of divert a little bit, but you'll understand the point. In the 1980s, Madonna, the singer, was in Canada doing performances. And again, this was on VHS, MTV last night, in which it showed her doing her performance on stage to It's a Virgin, the song It's a Virgin. And the Canadian police were about ready to arrest her because she was touching her crotch. And in Canada law, that was lewd practice. Now, she did a prayer with everybody else, and she talked about the freedom of speech. And while I like Madonna's songs, because a lot of that was anger towards the Catholic Church because of her upbringing and some of the things like the sexual abuse scandal that we all understand, the sad thing is that in this country now, while there are the Miley Cyruses and others who can grab their crotch or grind their hips against somebody else, the sad thing is for those victims who have been brutalized, raped, abused physically, psychologically, who are being put in prisons wrongfully, and again, I've mentioned on Reverend Pinckney's show that the bumps on the nose and the bumps on the head were the old ways of doing that. That stuff came out of Nazi Germany. Those were ways in which they commonly identified Jews to put in prison. But with Madonna speaking about how it's freedom of speech, yet victims of these crimes are being silenced in this country, and she was saying how backwards Canada was, yet you can grind and have unbelievable things that you're doing now, but you cannot speak and get help to stop the criminal corruption. And we're on the verge in this country, sadly, and too many other countries, of allowing for pedophilia, which is sex with a child. Now, if that is repugnant to you, and I hope it is, it's time for us to be saying no to this stuff. Well, I am a survivor of that. I am a survivor of that, and I will tell you, no. I was denied the right to even know my sex organs, so I could have reported it. And please know, before we move on really quick, there is a big difference by knowing your sex organs to report this officially as a child versus sex education. And there is a huge distinction between those. Thank you
all
for
listening. All right, Dorothy, appreciate that. Listen, you can come back on, we'll finish up next week, but I got to move on. You got 60 seconds to say whatever you want.
Ladies and gentlemen, what this is about, it's about us being denied all the information so that we can't be the great inventors, inspirers, or moving our country forward. When you can have inventors that, like Tesla, whose information would have revolutionized our country for everybody equally, that's where we're still at. We're still kind of in the old age. And it's not because we aren't smart. It's because we're being denied that information to be who we're supposed to be. Thank you for listening.
All right. Thank you so much, Dorothy. I tell you, I really, really appreciate you. You definitely give us some very enlightening information. But also I'd like to thank my good friend Mary for being so patient. And she has not once got mad and threw something through the computer and hit me with it. So I appreciate that. I love you, Mary, and I know that you have something that's exciting that you want to bring about. So, Mary, but before I do, I just want to continue talking about boycott, boycott, boycott. You got to boycott all the Whirlpool products. You got to boycott everything in Florida. You got to teach these people to keep their money in their pockets. Once we learn to keep our money in our pocket, we will be successful. On that note, I got to bring in Mary. Mary, are you there?
I am here, Reverend Pinckney, and how much I have enjoyed your program today. Today, it just so happened, it's just a confirmation by God that your program is mainly about people standing up and being who they say they are. It's about exposing hypocrisy, especially hypocrisy in the church. Last night, I wrote to two church organizations on Google Plus. I wrote to Jesus Christ Daily and also to Knowing Jesus. And I told them that a man has been shot. A schizophrenic young man was shot by Dallas, Texas police, shot in the street where he was having a schizophrenic crisis. His mother called the police, and the police had one solution for mental illness, and that is either to shoot them or incarcerate them. Oh, yes, that is what they do when you call the police for your mentally disturbed relatives, for your mentally disturbed neighbors. They shoot them, they taser them, they arrest them. And so when I wrote those messages and I said, please, get in touch with your representatives, your congressional representatives, and ask them to replace death by police and incarceration with either hospitalization or with assisted outpatient treatment for the mentally ill people in your community. And I gave them the story of this young man who was pacing in front of his house at the end of the cul-de-sac in Texas, and police that his mother had called came up and shot him, just shot him down. Luckily, he lived. This was a Caucasian young man. They just shot him last week. And the thing is, sir, that I thought that by him being a Caucasian young man, that they would accept the message and that they would want to help. But when I went back to my computer today, Jesus Christ Daily and Knowing Jesus, those are the two groups, they had deleted my message off of their website. They had deleted my comment off of their website. The church does not want to help prisoners. The church does not want to help the mentally ill not be shut down in the street for having a common treatable health condition. The church is a part of the prison industrial complex. They're a part of it through their silence. Your silence is consent. You consent to all of these prisoners being in solitary confinement torture. You consented to Herman Wallace being kept in solitary for 33 years. You consented to that through your silence. Oh, yes, you consented. And then we had a few years ago, we had the big church congregations come to blacks and say, we apologize for not speaking out against you doing speaking out in your behalf during slavery. We apologize. But yet and still, they're not speaking out on behalf of black people today. They're not speaking out against our slavery today. They're not speaking out against the enslavement of even their own white people who are kept in solitary confinement and who are shot down in the street. And I say to the church, the same thing Jesus Christ said to you years ago, and it's repeated throughout the Bible. This isn't a verse that I have to give you the chapter and verse for, because it's over and over in the Bible. Jesus Christ said, woe unto hypocrites. And he's talking to the church. He's talking to the church when he says, woe unto hypocrites. You choose to hold on to your little federal grits instead of standing up for the people of God, instead of saying no more solitary confinement, no more a death penalty, no more denying people DNA tests, no more taking people's homes on fraudulent banking, no more of that. You choose to get in your church and talk about the great exploits of Jesus Christ and his disciples 2,000 years ago, where you won't stand up for the people in your community today. Not only will you not stand up for the people in your community today, but you will not even send Reverend Pinckney a donation when he stands up for the people in the community. Oh, you put him out of the NAACP because he ruffles your feathers, because he really does the work that the NAACP was supposed to be doing. You stand up against a man of God who is doing the work of God. But I say unto you, Jesus Christ daily, and knowing Jesus, I say unto you, all of you hypocrites who went to church today, and you come home, and you do nothing about the wrongs that are being done around you, with your tax money, buying bullets that are used to kill people for being mentally ill, I say unto you that I shake the dust off my feet. I shake the dust of you off my feet. Oh, yes, you got a day coming. You dare call yourselves Christians, and you stand around and let all of this abuse happen to people, and you dare call yourself by the name of God. Well, God has a message for you today, and I say to you the same message that God gave. He said, if I say to a man, I love God and hate his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? That's 1 John 4:20. And why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say? That's Luke 6:46. Listen, I'm telling you that the Lord has a word for you today. What is it that you're not doing? What is it that Reverend Pinckney is doing that you are not doing? The Bible says, open your mouth. Of the dumb, and the cause of all such are as appointed to destruction. Open your mouth and judge righteously and plead the cause of the poor and needy. Remember them that are in bonds as bound with them, and them that suffer adversity, as though you yourselves are also in the body. Oh, that list signing for Lynn Stewart to be let out of jail on compassionate release, it should be millions of church names. Oh, we've got millions of churches in the United States of America, but how many churches have signed for that woman to be released from prison while cancer wrecks her body, and all she did wrong was stood up for the poor and needy? How many churches are signed up down there? How many churches have raised a contribution for Reverend Pinckney to be able to go to meetings and to uphold the word of God? Oh, he's not talking it. He's not just talking it. He's living it. And all of us on this channel who talk to you every Sunday, we're talking to you about doing the word of God. And you know what? One day our talking will be over. One day it will be too late to talk you into salvation, because you will be falling and burning in hell for ignoring the word of God. I ask you right now, if I've touched your heart at all with the truth, that's the truth, the sword of the Spirit, then I ask you right now to get out your checkbooks, especially the church prison ministries. Get out your checkbooks, the church prison ministries. You are just going to church on Wednesday night or Tuesday night, whatever night you do, and singing songs. You're doing nothing to relieve the people in front of you. You are doing nothing practical to help. You know, a lot of people said pray for the people. But then Jesus said, feed the people first and give them a jacket and then pray for them. So you're not attending to the needs of the people. People are crying out. Mothers are crying because their sons and daughters are in jail under wrongful convictions, because their sons and daughters are in jail because of mental illness. People are crying today. And you go to church ministry and you go to prison ministry on Tuesday night to a local church or a local jail or prison near you, and then you just pray for them, and then you feel like you're justified. I say to you, woe unto hypocrites, because if you can't write to your representatives and tell them that the mentally ill do not belong in jails and prisons, we demand for you to reopen hospitals. We demand for you to give care in the communities that will prevent them from doing the crimes that lead to prison. If you can't write a simple statement and sign your name, then you don't belong to Jesus Christ. You're a liar. You are fooling yourself, and to hell you go. And The sooner the better. In Jesus' name, I say that. Amen. Reverend Pinkney, please give your address so that anybody who's a real child of God will know it, so they can send you a donation and let the truth go marching on. I said the truth go marching on. Thank you.
All right. Thank you so much. It's Banco, B-A-N-C-O, 1940 Union Avenue, Benton Harbor, Michigan, 49022. That's Banco, B-A-N-C-O, 1940 Union Avenue, Benton Harbor, Michigan, 49022. Or go to Banco, bhbanco.org, and you can do it by with your Visa or MasterCard. Thank you so much. I got to bring on this young lady.
I just have one more thing to say, Reverend Pinkney. Starting Monday night, the Human Rights for Prisoners March is going to Blog Talk Radio starting Monday night. That's on NNIA1. So just go to Blog Talk Radio, look for Human Rights for Prisoners March. I invite all families who've had your loved ones killed by police or killed or brutalized in prison, I invite you to come on as my guest and let's talk about it. Because, you know, change does not happen without exposure. You have to expose what is wrong, and that's what Reverend Pinkney does every Sunday. You have to expose what is wrong before you can hope to have change. So we're exposing the abuses and the oppression of people all over America. And we thank you, Reverend Pinkney, for doing the Word of God.
All right. Thank you so much. I tell you, this has been a tremendous show, but I got to bring on 208-419. You're on. Talk to me. Hello?
Is that me?
Yes, you.
It is me.
All right. All right. Well, then you all set. Let's rock and roll. Hello?
I think that's... Is that me?
Yes. I said yes. Can you hear me? Hello?
I'm not sure if I'm on or not. I'm the lady... Well,
on. I told you you were on. Come on.
I don't think you can hear me.
I can hear you. All right, Ralph, come on and just say something for us.
Hello, Ralph here.
Hey, Ralph. All right. We're going to close it out with you and you and Belinda, and we'll do it just like that. So tell us what you want people to know, your closing remarks, so we can get people to start calling in so they'll know that to make sure that they take care of Lynn Stewart on this.
Yes, I wish people would continue doing what they're doing. Take a few minutes each day to call the numbers that we have, the Attorney General's office, to call the office of the president to say, free Lynn Stewart. And we wanted to talk about what the shutdown really meant. And Obama made a deal to end the shutdown. And we must examine what that deal is, how much more he has given up again in terms of food and Medicare. So Social Security, all of these benefits that we're losing little at a time, and we do not understand that Obama is as much a part of the problem as the Tea Party. They get into these so-called fights, and then Obama says, well, I'm not giving up, and then he gives up. And it harms us. We have to look into that. It will soon hit with the lack of increases to the cost of living of Medicare. Therefore, every time the cost of living goes up, those on Medicare will lose. Babies will lose food. We are all losing in this situation, and we don't understand it, what this meant. It was a game, a charade. And we have lost again. But one moment, when we have time, maybe at the beginning of next week's program, I'd like to list what happened in terms of our benefits. They call them entitlements. The entitlements to the poor have been cut. Entitlements to the rich have been increased. This is what this meant. But you can't say it in 10 seconds, but I will say, let us continue the struggle with all of the things that were said. Mary Neal was magnificent this evening. All of your guests are magnificent and educational, and so keep up the good work. We are with you, and what could I add to that?
Well, I'll be glad to. I can't wait to see you in December.
Great, great, great. We have much to talk about and much more to do, and you are getting it done. Thanks again.
All right,
Reverend.
Hey, appreciate that. Belinda Brown.
Yes, Pastor Pinckney, I certainly agree 100% with Ralph. All the guests were excellent, especially Mary. She went off. Mary went OFF. I got to give her a call, Pastor Pinckney, and I need to call you back and get her number. I need her to go on my show and get the people fired up.
She can definitely do that.
Yes, indeed. That's exactly what the whole world need to hear, what she had to say today, because that is the bottom line. You know, we got to wake these people to H up.
Mm-hmm. You see, we don't have no other choice.
Right.
You know, it's either them or us.
That's right. It's about time, and I'm going to hear you. Mary, even, I thought I was woke, but she woke me up some more.
So, I want
to say, too, Pastor Pinckney, that you had a lady on your show last week. Her name was Dorothy, and she called Mississippi. I need to get her phone number because she's not too far from me, and so that we can kind of, like, communicate with each other, and maybe we might can do something to help each other.
I can do that. That's tremendous. See, that's what I'm trying to do, connect everybody, make sure everybody is connected some kind of way. See, that's the
right,
only way we're going to keep it down. So we know how that goes. So that's amazing.
I want to get that from you as soon as possible because she was talking about the abuse and the corruption that is in the Child Protective Services and in the family court and stuff that's going on. And I'm here to tell you, you know, Mary hit the nail on the head. You know, until we expose all of this stuff, we can't help nobody and we can't make the changes necessary to make things better for everybody.
Absolutely correct. I tell you, but, you know, we just have to continue this fight. You know, I need to get in touch with some of your family members that live here in Benton Harbor. We're doing that recall of the school board, three members, and also we're making sure that, you know, tomorrow at the city council meeting, we're going to we picket the mayor house on Saturday, Belinda. Hightower, we picketed his house on Saturday, gave him a little something just to let him know we were thinking about him. And you know, he's supposed to be a minister, but I tell you, he don't know this. But you know, I have never ever seen a hearse pulling a Cadillac before. So he better be aware. He can't take this junk with him. But yet still, he has sold out our community. But we're prepared
to be
for this battle on November the 5th.
I gave my sister Michelle your phone number because she needs to call you and get in contact with you about an urgent matter, something that happened to her. And I told her that you might can help her get an attorney. So she needs to call you, and then I'll get in touch with most of my family members, too, and get them riled up to get, because they can hold a sign, Pastor Pinckney. That's what you
need. Oh, absolutely, absolutely. We need, you know, we need to move forward and make sure people understand how serious this situation is, because a lot of times we let them off the hook too much. We give them a free pass, and especially these ministers, too. Those are some of that's the main problem here, because they use them to fight against us, and they use their congregation. So they, you know, that's the biggest issue we have here is the congregation.
Pastor Pinckney, I think we put a lot out on the line about exposing these churches and these pastors, you know, and the people that set up in these dead churches and refuse to get involved and help and do things, you know, in the community. You know, that's what it's all about. We got to put these people on blast and let them
know that.
So the whole country is watching, you know,
mm-hmm.
what they're doing. And, you know, people just tired of the same old, same old. You know,
mm-hmm.
the only way we're going to see the change in the movement that we need is when we start exposing every single thing that's going on that's not right. I don't care who it is or where it's coming from. We got to tell it.
We got
That's
to
right.
talk
you know
about
what?
It.
We should be picking in some of these churches on Sunday morning. I think that would be one of the things that we need to start doing. And so they can wonder why. If you don't know why, then you got a problem. Because we're going to be, I think that would be the first step to start, you know, we picket the courthouse, we picket everything else. Why not picket these ministers? Why not let them know that we're not taking this crap off them no more? And I think that's
pick the biggest church in the community. You can
right,
start
you
with.
Know, and let them know that the gig is up, you know. And to me, that's very, very, very important. So we need to let them know and make sure that they understand how serious this thing is and take this thing to a whole different level. But, Belinda, on that note, we have just ran out of time. And
great
was,
show, Pastor Pickney. I enjoyed this
right,
show today.
All right, well, we're going to be back next week, same time, same station. And we're
okay,
let's
let
little,
you know we love
hell.
Her and tell everybody we say hello.
I sure will. Good night, everybody.
Okay.
Don't say tomorrow. Mm-hmm.